your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's enter the time of scripture reading. Meditate on the word as I read. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated. Today we will welcome Reverend Lim, who is, Reverend Lim is a senior pastor from Bethel Presbyterian Church, and he's also the moderator of Singapore Presbyterian Synod. So, brothers and sisters, please welcome Reverend Lim today to share the word with us.
Okay, I think y'all need this, huh? Shalom to everyone. And it is very unusual for me to preach in a Chinese Presbytery church in English. That seldom happens, and of course there's always a first time. And I'm thankful to the church to invite me to preach today. I wonder if there are new friends amongst us. We have some new friends amongst us. I am not the host here, but let's welcome them. Well, I just want to show you some data, and with data, for those who are, you know, very acutely aware of what's happening around Singapore, at least for the last 10, 15 years, maybe something interesting. Especially this has got to do with the Christians in Singapore. All right, first of all, we know that in 2010, we have only like about 18.3% of our population who subscribe to the religion of Christianity. And in 2020, it has risen to 18.9%. So that's the increase we have seen in 10 years. And possibly so after comparing with all the other religion, Christianity is the only one that has increased. But the other group of people that has also increased belong to the atheists. So in 2010, the number, the percentage was 17%. And then in 2020, it has risen to 20%. So you see that it has gone beyond the numbers as found in amongst the Christianity. So what would be interesting is this. As I look around, the oldest here, apart from our reverend, your senior pastor, and the church leaders, roughly what's the oldest age here? The members here? 30? 35, a bit of a stretch, thereabout. So that means you're about 35 and below. Okay. Okay, stop pointing at those people who are old, okay? I feel a bit. Okay. Now let's continue with this. Now you see that there are five sets of bars here. And those bars, those pairs of bars on the left belong to 2010 figures, and 2020 is on the right of the pair. So you see that for those who are 15 to 24, it has increased. All right, the percentage increase is something like 21% in 2010 to 24% in 2020. So you see that the difference is 3.2%, but the increase is much bigger, isn't it? If you do your maths. So which means today, for those who are 15 to 24, which I suppose probably half of you here are in that category, you would probably amongst your friends notice that out of four persons, one is an atheist who does not subscribe to any religion, who does not believe in any God. You think about it. Is it true in your situation? And for those who are in the age group of 25 to 34, which I think most of the remaining people here belongs to, then you would see the increase is even greater. It has increased from 2010 at a percentage of nearly 20% to, in 2020, 26.2%. So this increase has been alarming for many church leaders, and possibly why your church leaders have decided to do something about your church. Now, this situation is something that all church should sit up, pray, and think what to do next. And I suppose that's also one of the reasons why in this church you have decided also to have some Sundays dedicated to share the gospel. It is a life-giving word of the Lord. And there is so much privilege and honor to just share the word of God. So you don't have to be a pastor to stand up here to do that. You can do it in your school. And for some of those who looks like they are in your NS, do it there. For those who are unfortunately adulting in at workplace, do that and share. Not just with words, but also with your life. So I believe action, deeds, speaks much louder than the words from our mouth. And this is how we want to live. And for many of us, today we are here gathered to listen to God's word. And the title given to me from the church is this, A Quest of God's Whereabout. Now I hope to just look into this title in three portions. The three portions are to talk about God, and talk about the whereabout, and then to talk about perhaps the quest of this whole thing. So first of all, God, assuming that God is real and there is indeed one true God, how do we define this God? What can we see of this God? How do we imagine this God to be? What power does he have? What does he say? He, she, it. I don't want to get into that, but you get what I mean, right? How do you define this one true God? What is your standard? What measuring tape do you use to determine if this is 85% God or this is 100% God? So that is something not too easy for us to define. But when I was much younger than your age, I felt that this was my God. For those who are very young, you may not know what is this. You think that this is found in a certain park. But this is my God when I was much younger. I look up to this God. I look up to him as my hero. Because this hero, if you didn't know, can change 72 different... Some people are nodding. You are... You look young, but you're old, is it? Okay. I better be careful with what I'm saying. Because this deity can change 72 different characters and then thus possess different power. And earlier in the two Chinese services, they could tell one of the special power is, do you know? Yeah, that's right. Not a harp, not a spear, but a rod. A rod that is the size of a needle, but as big as probably an aircraft carrier. It's so huge, it can smash mountains. And to me, that's amazing. That's all powerful. Wow, fantastic. This is my God. This is my hero. But this deity has a weakness. What is the weakness? Can only eat banana. No, wait. Some people are showing me this. Do you know what's that? For those who has this bewildering face, that is, I don't know what you call it in English, but it's a 金骨冠. It's a crown that Sun Wukong carries, and he couldn't bring it, cannot take it out at all. So that thing squeezes if there is a curse that is being read. So if you read that curse, and if you know that curse, then you become his god, whore. And actually, there are two characters who could do that. I will not go into those. If you like, we can have lunch and then we can talk about it. So what that means is, this god of mine, wow, fantastic with all the good things and all, but then there is some weakness. So this is my Eastern God. Let me introduce to you my Western God. Who is my Western God? I'm looking at my age group people. you don't bluff me, like, you look 21. Okay, so my Western God is Superman. Super outdated, right? But tell, you know, when I was 10, 8, this is my true God, who has the power to lift up I-beams, who can, with a single bound, fly over skyscrapers. But one thing he has to do, unlike the monkey God, he has to change. But he also didn't want change. But monkey God, 72. This is only one change. But once he changed, wow, 不得了. So what he changed? I don't want to talk about any other dressing, but just the cape. So the cape makes him fly. Or maybe when he flies, the cape becomes very prominent. So I almost became one. I had a blanket. I tie around my neck. And mind you, I was 6, 7 years old, so be kind to me. So I tied the blanket around me. I took a stool, went to the window where I stayed at 17th floor. So I had one foot on the stool, the other foot on the window, and I told my mom, "Mom, I'm going to be Superman today." And I was 1 foot away to becoming one. Of course, I didn't become one. That's why I'm standing here. My mom is to blame. She pulled me back, and she scolded me with a... Okay. So I've just introduced to you my God of my growing up years. The Eastern God and the Western God. And both of them that I think fantastic, all-powerful, have their weakness. So one, a curse, and the other, kryptonite. So that's my God. So regardless, even though if it is what I think is God, there is the weakness. But one thing remains interesting to me was that even no matter how I worship these two, there was no form of relationship between us. None. Zero. I knew them, me in a way, but they never knew me. There were no form of relationship. So that is how I view God. So whereabouts? A quest of God's whereabout is, I think, for us, we want to think of a venue, we want to think of a location, and so we would imagine that if this is a mountain God, then you can go to the mountain and find. Or you try to go to the mountain and find, maybe if there is a God. Then there's a sea, and so for the sea, those who are familiar with the Greek mythology, you will find Poseidon. And if you want to think of any other... the Lord of the Hades or something, then you will have to die to go and find. So our question is that even though we think they are found there, can we literally go? When we think, imagine that this particular God is there, can we actually go there and find him, her, it? Can we do so? So we certainly have our limitations. And because there are some, I'm just guessing there are some army boys here, right? I saw some botak around. Is that true? Sorry, I don't mean you. So how many boys go topo, right? So you think you know, right? But actually cannot find. Lao ku, you know. Then you found your location, you can discharge your mission. But if you can't, then what do you do? So perhaps finding God may be something like that. You think you know, you may not know. You get the right map, maybe you can find. If you don't, you are totally out of the game. So this is a situation that we hope we can, you know, marinate in ourselves. So as a statement, I would like to say this, that there are many religions, even Christians sitting here, sharing gospel to each other, sharing the gospel to us about who God is and all that, but we may not know where to find God. We may not have a personal relationship with Him. We may not know how to find Him. So the third aspect of this is that I would like to talk about is the quest. May we ask, in what circumstances do we go out and find? Why do we want to find? Because something is lost? Because something is missing? Because something is misplaced? That's why we want to find. And if you're, you know, first generation Christian, when you were before as a Christian, you may even ask yourself, what is missing in my life? Sometimes we also ask that, even as Christians, myself as a pastor. What is God showing me? What is God bringing me to? Where is it? What is it? Why is it? And how is it? We keep asking that question. Before you're a Christian and not now being a Christian as well. So sometimes it is like a hide and seek. But we believe God has the power and the wisdom that is beyond us to show it to us. So this is why I chose chapter 15 of Luke. Earlier you have heard, that this is actually a chapter with three parables. The first parable has got to do with the lost sheep. And then the second parable has got to do with the lost coin. And the third parable, it has got to do with the lost child. So it's all lost, but found. And if you know the song from Amazing Grace, I once passé. I'm a terrible singer, but thank you very much. So if you can understand this, perhaps this parable will continue to speak to us. The parable goes like this. Out of 100 sheep, one is lost. And then what does the shepherd does is that he proactively went to look for the lost sheep. He found the sheep, carried the sheep back to the flock. So happy that he invited everybody to celebrate with him. It's so simple. That is the juice of it. But may I ask, like, was that this Deacon Terrence? You're a church leader. Do you know how many sitting here? 74.5. The other five is me. I'm not around. So can you imagine you knowing that there's one lost sheep here? If you are also one of the church leaders and you are that shepherd, can you also tell amongst all of you here, whoever is present here, one is missing? Can you tell? And if you expect your church leaders to also know that, wow. But you see, the lost sheep does not know the sheep itself is lost. Sheep, by nature, follows. Sheep will roam. Sheep are seldom found singularly. So in that situation, when a sheep is lost, it is totally lost. It is the best topo king you can find. Just can't find back home. That's why you need the sheep dogs. You need the shepherd to bring it back. So imagine the shepherd now knowing that out of this 74.5, one is missing. And this shepherd went out to look for them. And that shepherd knows this particular sheep Because he saw the sheep born, saw the sheep, how it fed, how it eats, how it drinks, how its characteristics, where it likes to go and where it likes to hide, and does it sleep during sermon? It's okay because you can rest in the Lord. And so with that, he can actually go to that particular place to find this stubborn sheep that always get lost here. And so the shepherd went and pick up the sheep, bring it back, and celebrate. Celebrate because this is what would be important for us to read. And I like you to read it. All right? Ready for verse 7. 1, 2, 3. So, one of the truth here, what it means is that when the one sheep is found, which means this one person has repented and returned to the Lord, that the heavens will celebrate for this one person returning to God. And if you as a Christian have that imagery in your brain, in your mind and in your heart, then hopefully the Holy Spirit in us will set off this motivation to share the gospel and to celebrate whoever will come to the Lord. And for many of us here, if you have not really repented and come to the Lord, know that there is this invitation. And when you accept this invitation, the heavens will celebrate. And I have told my mom, because my mom has not accepted Christ yet, I believe. But if one day she accepts, then I will hold a party for her in my church. I will invite my 500 members to all come together and celebrate. You want to eat cha bi hun, cha mi, you want to eat satay, you want to barbecue, so be it. I think it's certainly worth it. And for that one person, the heavens will rejoice, and so will be my heart. This is my heart, and I hope it is yours too. I wish you to imagine this. If God is the shepherd, and we are his lost sheep, we must realize that God himself proactively come and look for us, every single one of us. And when the sheep is found, he celebrates like no tomorrow. And so, one sad fact remains, is that, may the Holy Spirit enlighten us, is that we may not know that we are lost. And so, if you're humble enough, if we could recognize that, then perhaps the Holy Spirit will show us that we are indeed found. Found in God's love, found in his grace, and found in his mercy. So with this, not just that the lost sheep is found, the lost coin is also found, the lost child is recovered, and all this will culminate to a jubilation, a celebration of sorts, not just in heaven, but also amongst us. And I hope that there will be many celebrations in this church, many celebrations in your family, to commemorate and to celebrate this one person, this group of people, this family of sinners repenting and coming to the Lord. I'd like our brothers to read this verse. Sorry, that's the previous one. I'd like the brothers to read this verse. 1, 2, 3. In this world, because of social media and we are in the postmodernism period, many of us feel inconsequential. Sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel like we are not good enough. I've just returned from Korea and I've spoken to some friends and that is what they say. Because it's all about the facade. It's all about the exterior. And sometimes if you're not in the right group of people, cyberbullying is very real. Bullying in school is very real. Just because of your look. Not who you are and not in your heart. So regardless of what scenario you are in, this verse that our brothers here have read for all of us, I hope you can remember this. Not many of you here are mothers, but no mothers will forget their child, especially the one that they're nursing. How can you forget your child that you're nursing? How can you forget the child that you've just given birth? So tough. You know, in those days, there were no epidural, no happy dural, no cesarean, nothing. It's all, brutal. It's brutal. I've got two sons, just by the way. No mothers will forget. And today, if you look at newspapers, you will see that how some mothers may have abused their children and may have, unfortunately, in some bizarre circumstances, even killed that kid. But here, God is saying that, yeah, no mothers will forget. How can any mother have no compassion? But God knows, though some of them may forget, but I, your God, your Father in heaven, will never forget you. I hope you can take that home, take that to where you are, and to have full solace and complete immersed in this word, that you are remembered by God. You may be lost, just like the lost sheep. You may be lost by the like the coin. Nobody knew that you are actually lost. You may look good, you may look smiley, but we know deep inside us we are lost. God never forgets. He knows, and He is with us. Now that the brothers have read this, I'd like the sisters to read something, what Jesus said 700 years after this scripture. Not that exactly what he said, but Matthew wrote what he saw of Jesus. All right? The sisters, 1, 2, 3. So amazingly, this God that we worship, this God that we may know, we try to know, He actually knows us. He's fully aware that we are troubled. He's fully aware that we are helpless. And because we are roaming around aimlessly, so God sends His messengers, God sends His prophets, God sends His disciples to go and look out for us. He could tell that we are sheep without the shepherd, just like the lost sheep. So He's sending shepherds. He's sending church leaders. He's sending our mentors. He's sending the pastors. He's sending brothers and sisters to come alongside us to sometimes bring the nugget of truth to us. And those are sometimes what we call God's word for us. God sent a missionary to establish a Methodist church. And that's where my parents put me in when I was in my kindergarten time. The seeds of gospel were scattered over my heart. And during my secondary school days, my friends invited me to attend church camp, youth camp, sports days, evangelistic rally or whatsoever. Everything. Well, I joined. I see them raise their hands. They had tears in their eyes and they worshiped the Lord at the top of their voice. But once I step out of the gates, these people are saying profanities the same as I was. And so then I ask, what is the difference between you in the church and outside of the church? You are two different persons. And to me, I felt that wasn't right. And so, as I was growing up, I didn't like Christians. And in 1989, Bethel started a new worship service, a Mandarin service. Somehow my friend also invited me there and I went. And I was arguing with them about this God that you're worshipping, how real, how true, and everything. But somehow, God knew that I was a lost sheep. He came proactively to look for me. There were friends, there were people, there were teachers, there were pastors, there were elders and deacons. They can say what they want, but when they live a life as a Christian, that is like Christ-like Christian, then I begin to see truth out of their lives. And it is with that that I begin to ask a question to God, personally, that God, if you are real, then you speak to me, you touch me, you engage me, you let me know fully in faith that you are the true God. I mean, I didn't know I can pray like that. I just challenge. If you are real, you listen. If you are not, then it's okay. I offended nobody. But if you dare, as a non-Christian, to utter such statements to God, wow, I think the Holy Spirit will work. He will open your eyes and you will see. And you will feel and you will know and you will sense that this God is real. And why I know that? Because as the years go by, my faith grew. I get to know more about who this God, his character is all about. And so when I went to the army, I had a tough time. I relied on him. When I was lost as a topo king, he found a way for me. When I think I cannot push another one, he gave me 10 more. Oh, we'll talk about that another time. And when I had cancer, God helped me go through it. I was asked, how long did I take? 3 months was a treatment, and 3 months more for the recuperation. And my son was born when I had my surgery, so he was born the day that I was kind of diagnosed with cancer. So he's 26 this year. So imagine how many years was that? And God, every single day, has given me grace, mercy. And this is the love that I have experienced and tasted in myself. And the members, the cell group, they came alongside. They helped take care of my child when he has colic, when my wife had to go through some blues, you know, those are post-mortem stuff, very, very scary stuff. But the cell group, according to God's word, came together, loved us, cared for us. And that's when we begin to see that that is true God working amongst us. Even my mom, who's a non-Christian then, and still is, we hope not too long later she'll become one. And she said, you know, as a mother, I don't know how to love you and care for you as much as your church mates does. I think that is such a high compliment to be given. And so she saw God at work. She knows. But has she come to that faith? That is a process. So be patient with those processes. Keep praying because it's a process. And then the time may come. That is divine. So I should start to end with a few scriptures. Because I want to tell you that God loved you so much that He sent. The key here is He has been sending people after people, generation after generation to us. He has sent missionaries. He has raised and sent pastors, elders and deacons. He has sent many people, just lay Christians, to share the word of God. You know, the best thing is not about the pastor or the preacher standing here and preaching. No matter how good this person is saying, it does not come to naught. Unless the listeners listen and live it out. Remember that. If you listen and you live it out, then you will see the love of Christ. And I'm encouraging you to do that. And when that happens, one person speaks, 74.5 listen. Imagine the multiplying factor. So it is not just the pastors, the elders and deacons. It is everyone here. So God has sent, and God sends you as well. So with this, I want to tell you that for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So we know God sent His Son. He came. He's here, and He's not condemning us. He's not judging us in that sense, but He's here to save us. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So you may pray for as much as you want. You may do this, you may do that. You may do something that is beyond yourself. But if so-called the result, the ROI does not come in, that means the person does not accept Christ as what you want to or your plan to, you must understand that it's only God who draws him near. But God has sent you to share this gospel. And then also, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus uttered, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I gathered your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, and you are not willing. But Jesus is aware that amongst us, some are not willing to come. Maybe part of the 20% atheist. Some are absolutely adamant, I am not coming. But you never know. Some are seeking, some are considering, some are watching. But these are the 20%, and even for the rest, we continue to pray, we continue to reach out to. But we know some of them may not want to come. So this, the responsibility of them coming or not is not yours. It is God's, because it is God that draws them near. But you and I, we have the responsibility to share and to invite. That is our responsibility. So even though this is the case, may the Holy Spirit open up our eyes and see the verse in John chapter 17, verse 3. I'd like you to read this verse. 1, 2, 3. So marrying on this, may this word stick into your heart. So in conclusion, my dear friends, we might not need to find, we might not need to look for, we might not need to search for God. He has never left our sight. He remembers us, He knows us, and He is with us. So whether it is in the high mountain peaks or in the deepest of valleys, our Lord, our Father in heaven, has always been there for us. Our Lord Jesus came. He preached in the villages. He went to the towns. He took the burden of our sin, and on our behalf, He was crucified to death. So earlier, there's one song that sings of this. Do we truly believe in that? But for us, our Lord Jesus, He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and all this by the will of God our Father. So, actually, I wanted you to sing this song, but I'm not sure if you know, and I'm a terrible singer. So if there are some amongst us who knows, 有没有? I'll try, huh? Then you all just come along, huh? He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. And everybody answer, He lives within my heart. We have been asking. We have been asking for a few moments. We may have been asking for a lifetime. In our quest to God's whereabout, where can we find God? God has never left us. So now what we need to do is this. Turn around and we shall find Him. It's just as simple as that. Now if you may, can you help me remind the person next to you? Turn around and you may find Him. Turn around and you may find Him. Turn around and you may find Him. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you indeed, for you love us so much. You have sent your Son to us, your beloved Son, your one and only Son. And because of that, Father, we, your people, are forever deeply grateful to you. Father, we also know that you love the world so much that even no matter how much they detest you, you continue to do so. You love them with all your grace and mercy. So, Father, help us to be Christ-like. Help us to be like your disciples, to share your gospel, and to share with them the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you are not here to condemn, but to here to save. Father, this is our heart's desire. We hope you are pleased, because this is also your desire. We pray all this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters,